code switching. It's the news, according to me. Late start I'm getting today. It is 9:53 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Don't really quite understand why I was so tired. I slept this last week. I've been sleeping like a log. Not used to sleeping all the way through the night like that. We had issues with my dog, who would, you know, he'd wake up in the middle of the night, or wake me up in the middle of the night with barking, and he was uncomfortable. Let's just put it that way. He wasn't doing well. And I would wake up a couple times through the night, usually lay down with him and try to get him to relax and go back to sleep. And that was going on for months, among other issues. I rarely got a chance to sleep through the night like that, and it would mess me up pretty bad. And now I sleep really hard, seems like. But I don't understand why this morning. Yesterday I didn't. Yesterday was busy day. I ended up I didn't have to go to Chicago, but I did have to kind of travel around the area here a little bit. And I almost had to go to Chicago. They called me, and then they called me 20 minutes later and said, "No, never mind." So, well, thanks. I'm already on the way there, so I'll just go ahead and go turn back. So I went to the boat for a while. I ended up an interesting day. There was a really interesting accident out on 94 or 90, whatever, 80, whatever it is, the one that's not the toll road. On the eastbound side, a dual tanker deal, they call them Michigan train, whatever they call it. It was two tanks behind a semi. And the one tank apparently, one tank was rolled over into the ditch. The other, rest of the truck was kind of pretty much rolled over, but kind of twisted around. And they had another tanker there that was there to pump out that tank so they could get it out of the ditch. I guess it was, that's what their goal was. And it was, it backed up traffic all day long. I went through there in the morning around 10 o'clock. It had just happened not much before that. Actually, it was 9 o'clock their time. 10 Eastern. And it was messed up really bad. Even the west side was backed up for about 2 or 3 miles, only because people were rubbernecking. They were looking at the accident. They slowed down for that. And it backed up the traffic to almost a stop for a while, about 2 or 3 miles behind them. And then, of course, it backed it up. Eventually, I heard that it got to the line. To the Indiana-Illinois line. And so I was on my way to Hammond. I decided to go to, I actually went past Hammond. I went to Chicago Heights. At the exit 2 on the other side, there's a Chick-fil-A. So I thought, well, I'll stop there, take a little nap in the car, and then I'll eat some lunch. This was around noon my time, 11 o'clock Central, 11 o'clock Central time. So I got some lunch there, and then I kind of drove around, and I noticed that the traffic was backing up all the way to the Illinois-Indiana line. So I didn't really want to go back to the boat at that point. I was thinking about going back there. Well, it was going to take me 2.5 hours to get back to the boat. It takes less than an hour to get to Chicago. So I was kind of caught in this middle of this thing. So I took the back roads, went back around to the Hammond area, got there, messed around a little bit, and then that's when they called me. And so I took off, kind of started heading west again. And just before I started heading west, they called me again and told me that, never mind. So I ended up going around the north side, around the dune side, and I went back to the boat. It took me about an hour and a half, but the GPS was still saying it was going to take me almost 2.5 hours to get back to the boat, which is normally about a 40-minute drive at that point, probably less than that, probably, actually. Anyway. So it was just a mess. After doing all that, I got back to the boat, did a few things, worked on a couple things. There were some things that I needed to deal with on the boat. Then I ended up just going home. I was on call until midnight, but there's really no way they can get me to do anything until then. So I took off, went back home. And anyway, all that to say, I have creamy chai in my cup and I have Almond Joy creamer. I'm at the home studio this morning and I have, sweet tea, the last of my homemade sweet tea. Now, what this means is, you know what I'm going to be doing the rest of the day. I'm going to be making homemade sweet tea again because I I've run out of homemade sweet tea. It's my last of my homemade sweet tea in my backup cup. So I will be making more homemade sweet tea. I will be working Monday through Wednesday of next week. However, it's very unlikely they're going to be using me. So probably very good chance that I'm going to be doing a show from the boat next week, Monday through Wednesday. And then Thursday and Friday, I'll be probably one of those days I will actually be in the international. Whoa, I just punched the microphone. In the international studio, worldwide headquarters. Not sure that was code switching. We're going to talk about code switching today. I've got a list of things here, but one of the things that just popped up, and I just noticed that this guy named Ryan, I can't think of his last name. Let's see if I can find him real quick here. It's got to be possible because he's kind of this guy that he thinks he's kind of a fact checker. He's kind of good with army intelligence, and this kind of thing kind of makes me wonder about him sometimes. He always seems to have this authority on, oh, this is the way they do it. This is the way it's supposed to be done. This is, you know, all this. He does a pretty good job of calling out some things that are wrong sometimes. However, there are times when he says things that I really it's obvious that he has an agenda. Not that he pushes his agenda through his channel, but he actually does have. Let's look at my history here. Should show what this is doing. My shorts here. There it is. What's his name? I'm gonna try to. I'm gonna pull this up without any audio, because I'm trying to find out what is his channel name. Ryan Macbeth. Ryan Macbeth. I subscribe to him, and I do watch his shorts and stuff occasionally. The short videos, not his shorts. And it's interesting. Jesse Lee Peterson. he is the boss sometimes. My little kitty down here. She just came in the room again. She's very coy. She's very shy. Tries to get me to reach as far as I can. She just comes just within reach of me, and then she wants me to pet her. She kind of just stays just out of reach most of the time. And get her to jump up in my lap. Sometimes she will, but anyway. So Ryan Macbeth, appreciate the guy, however, he'll make a statement once in a while, and this is one of the things. And he's obviously left wing. I mean, he's obviously I would say probably leans a little bit more traditional Democrat, but he's definitely a Democrat. He would call himself that, but he's more leftist, and he doesn't realize. A lot of people who think that they're independent, and they're independent thinkers, and they're, I don't have anything to do with the politics of it. Yes, they don't realize where they fit. They just have no self introspection. They have no ability to understand where they. They don't think I'm not going to be pigeonholed. I'm not going to be. Okay, fine, but you're. These are all the things you believe. These are all the things you stand for. And this is where you line up. Sorry. That's just the way it's going to work. That's where you're at. You're either a collectivist or you're an individualist. Now, you can be an individualist and still believe in social programs. That's not an issue. However, if you lean towards it all kind of boils down to who you decide is going to solve your problems and who should have control over your life or other people's lives, I should say. A lot of leftists believe that if you look up the term social libertarian. This is where libertarians really fall into a mess, because there are so many different definitions of libertarian. And these are people who I consider myself a libertarian. However, I am a Ron Paul conservative libertarian. I believe in individual liberty, but I'm not a libertarian. The Libertarian Party has. I probably follow or align myself with about maybe 30 to 50% of what the Libertarian Party stands for. If that, that's probably being generous. Because there is some really ridiculous stuff in the Libertarian Party. It's just, they're all over the place. Some have said it's like herding cats. You talk about Libertarian Party, libertarians in general. However, if I, what I appreciate about their party is that they truly are a big tent. They do allow anybody in. Of course, they have to. They can't be picky. It's too small of a party. Now, the Constitutional Party, I think, is probably a little more in line with. I've from what I've heard of them, they're very tiny as well. I do like the Constitutional Party. They seem to be a little bit more even keeled, but nobody's ever heard of them. Now, I don't like everything about Ron Paul, but I do like the fact that he's an individualist. He is a staunch constructionist with regard to the Constitution. And of course, Rand Paul, his son, I think, has followed in those footsteps very well. Not quite as he's an outspoken guy. He's very passionate about his concern for this country. He's put up with. He's been beaten up. He's been attacked many times, physically, and it has not caused him to waver. And he will stand against his party if he needs to. The Republican Party. So anyway. So Ryan says something about code switching. Everybody's kind of jumping on, everybody's picking on Kamala right now. Something happened the other day, this deal where there was the killing of these two, there were actually two individuals that were killed. One was the leader of Hamas. He was the president, I think, of Gaza. Or the head and leader of Hamas, and he wasn't living in Gaza, of course, because that he's living in Qatar, the lavish luxury lifestyle there that he's living, telling his people what to do there in Gaza. He went to Tehran, and I guess he was killed, offed by Israel. And I believe there's another leader as well that was off over the weekend. Over the last few days. And I can't remember what his name is. Now, I don't like this at all. I don't like the fact that we have to kill people. It's that we have to kill people, that people are killed like this. I just, regardless of who you are, I think that there should be punishment of some kind. Assassination, I think, is probably maybe something is necessary. This is really tough. This would be, if I were president, this would be the toughest thing for me to say to say we're going to take this guy out. What a difficult thing to do, regardless of how terrible the person is. No trial, no nothing. Just, of course, now you can have a trial. There's just people who decide that this person needs to be assassinated. Without due process of any kind. When people talk about, well, you're against abortion, but you're for the capital punishment. Yeah, because the child in the womb hasn't committed a crime. They've done nothing. They've done nothing to deserve being killed. And I believe that the life that has a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, I believe they should be protected in the womb under the Constitution. They are a life. Well, another life that can't survive outside the womb. Neither can most liberals. They can't survive on their own outside the womb. So just think about what you're saying there, buddy. Now, Donald Trump was, well, we're going to get into this a little bit later. He was interviewed by the Black Journalists Association in Chicago over the weekend, I guess, or last week. And it was brutal. Oh, guys, that guy. I guess, at his age and being shot at and everything else that's happened to him over the last, he has no filter now. He's going to let you have it. And it was brutal. And some people are saying, oh, he really stepped in it when he did that. Oh, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. I don't think he did. No, I think you're going to see this is going to actually ruffle the feathers of some certain individuals. But it's also going, they're going to use it, what he said. However, what they don't like is the fact that he stood up for himself, and this is not what they're used to. But it says a lot to some people in this country. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But so anyway, where was I going with all this? So Kamala, after these people are killed, the first thing you hear on the news is Kamala. All of a sudden, Kamala's in the news. They're asking her, "What do you think about what's over?" They're treating her like the president. Now, that's fine if we've invoked the 25th. And Joe's not the president anymore. Shouldn't we be concerned about what our president says about this? Now, first of all, she came out. She was upset about it. She didn't know what to think about it. Oh, I don't know. This is, I got to look into this. The U.S. has a bounty on these people's heads. Tens of millions of dollars, I believe, is what it amounts to, is the bounty on these people's heads. In other words, if somebody over there would have killed them, we would have paid them for it. That's our nation's stance on that. Like it or not, I mean, whether you agree with that or not, that was the stance. And she comes out, and she's not so sure about what. Oh, I don't know what Israel's done now. This. Oh, Israel's done this. Well, this is a woman who would not meet with Bibi when he came here. Didn't want to meet with him. Joe Biden didn't want to meet with him. Now that she did, and then Bibi wanted to meet with Donald Trump. There are people who were protesting, congressional people who were protesting when Bibi came to speak in Congress, holding up signs, doing things. We elect representatives to represent us. We don't represent activists to do personal protesting. This is the problem you get into with identity politics sometimes. Now they think they have a personal agenda. They were not elected to push their own personal feelings about a particular speaker. They're supposed to represent the people. And the Constitution is supposed to protect every individual. And they get outside that realm. They start playing these games where they start doing this protesting crap. And it just becomes very sickening to me to see that on congressional floor. If they want to stand outside on the steps and do whatever they want to do, that's fine. But they're a citizen. They can have the rights to do what they want to do. But in the halls of Congress, they represent the people. They don't represent their little personal agenda. They should be censored for that. But they aren't. So, so Ryan Macbeth makes this statement about Kamala code switching. It's called code switching. So we have Kamala out there pretending like she's the president now. She gets asked questions. There's some really good examples. I wish I would have played the one. It was I wish I would have recorded the one. Maybe I can find it here in my history. She gets asked about I believe it was a short. Let's see if I can find it here. No, maybe it wasn't a short, but it was probably just a memeology thing or something. She gets asked about this. I can't find it. It's not here. She gets asked about her word salad that she gives when she was asked a question about the economy. Oh, it was on Stephen Crowder. I had a little blurb this morning, but actually I should have recorded that. If I could find it, I probably would play it for you. She's really a mess. Let's see if I can. Well, maybe I can find it. That's not it right there. She gets interviewed. She's in this interview and she starts talking about how now Hillary Clinton has endorsed her. And there's some interesting ties to what she's doing and what she's saying on the campaign trail. And we'll be covering some more of that, I think, tomorrow. I can't find this clip It is not. Maybe it's right here. She gets asked about the economy and about inflation, and she starts defining inflation. I think this is probably it right here. I'm not going to go there. And she doesn't answer the question. She asks the question, what are you going to do to fight inflation? Well, she kind of goes through this whole process of defining, well, you know, costs are going up and they've gone up and families are tougher and then they have to make decisions and things, you know, things are more expensive. And so it's, you know, and that's just where, this is where we need to. She's very good with the throwing out, well, that's a discussion we need to have. That's what we're going to do about inflation. That's how she answers the question. She'll say, so what do you think about this? Well, I think we need to have that discussion. That's not a discussion we need to have. Do you believe we should do this? Well, I think it's a discussion we need to have. In other words, yes, she does believe in it, and she thinks we need to discuss how we're going to do it. So she redefined inflation. All she did was talk about how, you know, she understands how people are, you know, struggling with inflation. Doesn't say anything about how we're going to deal with it. And she gets away. The media lets her get away with that. So she's talking, she's doing this speech last weekend about in front of a group of African Americans down the southern part of the states. It might have been in Georgia. And she starts talking like this. And that's what we're going to do because that's what we do. And all of a sudden, it's called code switching and everybody does it. Everybody does this. Everybody does code switching when they go back to whatever the... I do find myself talking a little differently to some people than I do others. That is very true. To relate to a particular group of individuals, I might talk a little bit differently. I do use the word y'all more when I go down south. When everybody around me is using that term, y'all want to get something to eat? When I'm up north, like I say, you'uns want to get something to eat? You guys? You want a pop? You want a soda? You want a Coke? What flavor Coke you want? Root beer? So it just, there are those things that you do tend to do that. People do tend to do that. However, when you do it in a speech and you're a political candidate and you talk, you do the same speech one place and you talk very differently than you do another place. I call it pandering. And here's the problem. And okay, even if it were normal and everybody, oh, everybody does this and it's normal, completely normal. So it's completely normal. It's everybody does it. It's kind of just kind of a natural thing that happens. Now, Barack Obama did it big time. Because, you know, he get in front of a group of African Americans. He had to start talking like African Americans. Had to have a little bit of draw. Southern pressure down south. Okay. Problem is, here's my problem with this. Well, you know, you get in front of a group of your peers. She got in front of a bunch of African Americans, and so she was talking like an African American because she's in front of her peers. Here's the problem I have with this whole thing. She's not African American. Period. Barack Obama, his mother, was as white as the driven snow. He was biracial. Maybe just his black side came out because he grew up in the black experience, which he never really did. But we won't get into that right now. I had this little clip. Judge Joe Brown. I kind of like Judge Joe Brown. I would vote for him for president if he wasn't quite as old as he is. He's getting up there. If he were running this cycle, I'd probably vote. If Trump wasn't running and he was running, I'd vote for him. But frankly, right now, I just think we got to vote for Trump. Sorry. That's just sorry to all my friends out there who don't like Trump. I'm sorry. That's the guy I'm voting for. And you can write me off if you think that's a bad thing, whatever. If you're going to let a politician come between me and you, then we didn't really have a friendship at all anyway. So there you go. It's kind of the way that's the way I look at it. And one of the major things, all the other crap I can put up with. If you vote the way I see it in favor of life, the party that upholds and makes a major part of their platform, they will fight to the death for the right to kill children in the womb. And don't think for a minute. If they could get away with it, and they've tried, and they have said it out loud in public on record, that they would allow for not just partial birth abortion, total birth abortion. The baby's born, the baby's alive, the baby's viable, but they don't want it, and they have 24 hours to decide. Well, we're going to keep the baby comfortable, make a decision, the parents can make a decision, and then they can choose to terminate the child if they need to. This is infanticide. It is murder. That is absolute murder. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. It is disgusting. And most Americans are repulsed by that. There are a few that just simply deny it. Oh, that's not legal in any states. That's not legal anywhere. But the point is, nobody's advocating for that. Oh, yes, there are people who are advocating for that. Well, it's not legal anywhere. There's a fellow named Stein. What's his name? It's not Brad Stein. What's his name? He's a super funny guy. Hilarious guy. He's interviewing some folks, and he ends up, where'd he go? I had him on here. This was I listened to this a little while back. This is probably earlier this morning. By the way, Marjorie Taylor Greene is the boss as well. She laid into somebody. Oh, here, that's, what's his name? Alex Stein. Okay. He's interviewing these liberals, and he says, "You're telling me you don't think that illegals have ever voted in a federal election? It's been illegal for them to vote for non-citizens to vote in an election since 1995. So you're saying nobody who's illegally here in the country has ever voted in a federal election? Of course not. It's illegal." Is what again? He about comes off of his rock. He almost flies out of his chair. He's like, "You got, what is wrong with you? You don't think anybody's ever committed a crime in this country? It just blows your mind to think. It's not been legal since 1995 for non-citizens to vote there. So therefore, it doesn't happen. You realize there are some states now." Have it in their legislature that if you're not a U.S. citizen, you can vote in local elections. In other words, you walk in, you say, "No, I'm not a citizen." They hand you a ballot, and you go in and do your voting, whether it's a voting machine or ballot or whatever it is, and it's the same ballot. They just tell you can't vote for any of the federal offices. Can't vote for the president or congressional offices. It's like, what? It's right there. All you have to do is push the button. It'll take it. They don't know you did it. It's not going to eliminate that. They give you this. They don't walk into the thing with you and say, "I'm going to make sure you don't push on this button." That doesn't happen. They just want to get you in that booth by yourself so you can push the button. I guarantee you that's what they're being told. Crazy stuff. Anyway, so this code switching thing is the thing that bothered me about it is that everybody said, she was in front of her peers. Okay, here's a fellow who knows Kamala Harris's dad pretty well, actually. Let's see what he has to say. Judge Joe Brown was being interviewed, and he says something about this, and he says, "Well, this is where Kamala." Apparently, he doesn't like Kamala very well. I don't know if this was done before she became a candidate or not, but this is what he has to say. So let's see what he has to say.
"And she was everybody's favorite Hindu Indian prosecutor and attorney general and senator, and now she becomes black. But, you know, I met her daddy, a fine gentleman, Professor Harris. And the problem with her being black is Professor Harris says he's Caucasian, mixed Irish and Hindu. He doesn't have any black ancestors, but his Irish ancestors owned a lot of slaves in Jamaica and had them to work on plantation. So if mama is on the birth certificate listed as a Caucasian, daddy says he's a Caucasian Hindu and has no black ancestors, how did she get to be black?
This is the question. Not only is she descendant from slave owners, not descendant of slaves, slave owners. They talk about her father being Jamaican. He himself didn't even admit to being Jamaican. He moved to Jamaica as an Irish Hindu mix. Now, I don't know, Hindu is a race. It's a religion, but it's, what is it? Eastern Asian? Eastern Asian is what we used to call Oriental, but now you can't use the word Oriental anymore. I'm not sure whatever happened. I don't know what happened there. I don't know why that became a racist term. This thing about racism, it's not so much racism. Just when you identify someone as a particular race, that's not racism. Or when you use a term that implies that they are a particular race, that's not racism. That might be racialism. It's very different. The leftists are all about racialism. In fact, they're more, they cross the line to racism all the time when they're talking about white people. They make statements about just like this white dudes for Kamala thing that was going on. Can you imagine if we had a white dudes for Trump group meeting of some kind, how that would go over? That's, you know, it's certain things you just can't do. There's one group in this country that has their rights diminished because everybody else has special protected rights. I'll let you guess what group that is. Think about the things you can say about one particular group in this country and you can't say about any other group, or that group certainly can't say about any other group. Yeah, that's what you do when you start getting into collective rights, special rights, group rights, and not individual rights. It's the open door to tyranny, only because there now nobody understands the, you know, you started getting into this mob rule thing where you have a democracy, as it was, not as the founders. The founders of this country did not come up with the idea of democracy. But apparently, and I've had some discussions with some very close friends and relatives about this. You start using the words, terms like pure democracy or that kind of thing. The term, the democracy was not something that the founders invented. Democracy's been around for a long time. Now let's, I'm just going to look at it here. Democracy. 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 Yeah, here we go. Government by the people, exercised either directly or through elected representatives. This is the kind of thing that really bugs the daylights out of me when you get into certain kinds of political or social unit that has such a government. They relate this idea of, they try to make it sound like our, they try to define ours and make it look like something that we've done. What is democracy? Where was democracy first practiced? Studies of contemporary non-literate tribal societies and other evidence suggests that democracy, broadly speaking, was practiced within tribes of hunter-gatherers in prehistoric times. this is ridiculous, that they have no idea. That's typically not the way tribes acted at all. Not at all. 99% of the tribes that we know of, even the unreached groups right now, are not, none of them have ever been democratic. None. You have a tribal leader, you have a chief, usually the patriarch of the group. That is typically, that is almost generally always the way it works out in the tribes. Even in the nomadic tribes in the European area, there was no democracy. And that would typically swing over into where you would call a king. So the descendants of that patriarch or that old timer that had been around for so long, in the hierarchy, the toughest guy in the group. Thousands of years later, in the 6th century BC, a relatively democratic form of government was introduced by the city of Athens. Athens. That's pretty, I think, was it Socrates? I'm trying to remember if it was Socrates or one of those guys that came up with democracy. Literally, rule by the people, the term is derived from the Greek demokratia, which is coined from demos, which means people, and kratos, means rule. In the middle of the 5th century BC, denoted by this existing, notably Athens. It doesn't say who actually was talking about it. A pure democracy in this regard, back in that day, would be, you know, 99% of the people can vote for 1% of the people to be eliminated. Sadly, 51% of the people could vote to have 49% of the people eliminated. We're going to vote. Who should die? Well, this 51% of people say that the other 49% should be killed. Well, that's people. The people have spoken. People rule. Well, but they have rights. Let's vote on those rights. Because a pure democracy, we're not talking about a constitutional republic. We're not talking about a place where any individuals have any rights. We're talking pure democracy. That's what a pure democracy is. Now, supposedly, there is some kind of idea, and I've never heard of this before in my 60 years of living, that supposedly the founders, I never have read this in any of their letters, any of the Federalist documents, any of the founding communications, anywhere, that a pure democracy, when they were talking about pure democracy, they meant a white democracy. I've never heard that. This is something that's been imposed upon whatever was being said. Now, yes, there was this whole thing in the Constitution where a black man was not considered a human. There's a reason for that. This is why it doesn't say you have the right to life, liberty, and property. That's what they originally wanted to put in there. The problem was the Southern states said that property, the Democrats, by the way, believe that certain humans were property, and if we give them the right to have property, then we're giving them the right to own people. Because they considered black people their slaves. They considered them to be property. You're giving them a constitutional right to have to own people, to own their slaves. So they were struggling with this whole thing and how to put this together. So that's why they had to do that.
Well, they were all slave owners.
No, they weren't all slave owners. There were a few of the founding. There were over 50 people who signed the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, and it's in the Constitution, Bill of Rights, all that stuff. There was more than just these few founding fathers that we always talk about. And yes, they ended up eventually, willingly, setting their slaves free. Kamala Harris comes from slave owner descendants. Not slaves. Not African American. She had no black experience in her life. Her father was a professor. She wasn't down with the struggle. But they're making her out to be a black woman because they think that's going to get her in the ticket. Barack Obama was a black man, not a biracial man, because that gets him in the door if we're voting for a black man. He did so much to bring this country back together, didn't he? All the reconciliation that happened under Barack Obama with racial tensions and divides. Nothing. He did absolutely nothing. He made it worse. Nothing. Al Sharpton has done nothing. To reconcile this country. Nothing. I don't think he knows what the word reconciliation means. I think to him, reconciliation means, well, that just means you got to reconcile the books. You got to get reparations. You got to make these people pay. These people none of these people who you're telling to pay for reparations owned any slaves. How are you going to do this justly? Well, if your family owned this, if your great grandparents died trying to free the slaves, then you only have to pay half as much. If your great grandparents owned slaves, I think we should make it the party. I think the party should have to pay for it. The Democrats were the ones who owned slaves. They should pay for it. They should pay the reparations. There you go. I do have a few notes here I want to talk about before I get too far off on the... I'm all fired up today. I don't know what's going on with me. I need some more chai. My chai is getting cold. I think that's the problem. We have... let's talk a little bit about this whole thing with Kamala and how she is now kind of stepping into this role as president. Now, there are some pitfalls to having her step in as the president to invoke the 25th, I should say. There are some issues with this, that we need to be very careful with. There are some Republicans who are calling for Joe Biden's just to invoke the 25th. And I get it. I think I kind of understand it. We might as well do it because we don't really have a president right now. He's really going downhill fast. However, the Democrats could do this. I think that they probably will. I think after the election, maybe before. Just to kind of get keep the hype up. Because right now they got this hype. Oh, we got this new energetic person in there who dances and claps and sings, and she can actually talk and make and do a speech, and it sounds really great. And they're all enthused about it. And then, of course, they got this $200 million that has come in raising money for the campaign, which, by the way, mostly was AstroTurf. Which what's concerning about that is these people are deceiving themselves again and thinking they're going to win. Much like they did in 2016, there's so many things that are happening that are so familiar with 2016 that it's almost uncanny from what I recall from 2016. And of course, the leftists are just she's going to win, I'm going to vote for her. I know people in the state of Indiana here. I've got some friends who live here in Indiana, and they're talking about voting. Oh, I'm going to vote for her. You really you think that Indiana is going to turn blue? Because the thing here is that. You go ahead and vote however you want to. What I'm saying is, if you think that your vote is going to count in Indiana, I don't know what kind of fairyland you're living in here. Indiana's not turning blue. You vote all you want. Maybe you think the popular vote's going to matter. And I'm not a supporter of the popular vote at all. Not at all. Not one bit. There's a reason for the delegate system we have. I believe, personally, I think that Donald Trump's going to win the popular vote this time, and he's probably going to win. Well, he's going to win the popular and the delegate vote. I just think he is. Now, the next time that they try to kill Trump, this is where it gets a little sticky. I don't think it's just going to be some lone gunman. All I can say is the American people are going to stand up for this guy. It's going to be very interesting here. I think you're going to see, at his rallies, you're going to see people are going to be very protective of this man. So the craziness, the world we live in. We have this issue of Biden stepping down. And of course I think the Democrats realize they would put the feather in their cap to say, we put the first white female, or the first black, white female, black female, Hindu female president into office. Okay, there you go. So you got all your then we got to start doing trans stuff and gay men and all that stuff too, I suppose. So Pete Buttigieg, the list of people on the vice president, and we don't know who it's going to be. It probably won't be announced until the convention. So I think it's that next week. The DNC convention. Let's see if I can find that here. It's this right here. What is that? Don't know what that is. Wait, what's that? Let's find out here. DNC convention. 2024 convention. Let's find out what the dates are on this thing. Location, what? When is the Democratic National Convention? 2024 DNC dates. Location, July 21st, 2024. This, August 19th. Starts on August 19th, almost the end of August. We got a few weeks to go, I guess, for that. I was thinking it was next week for some reason. So yeah, the 19th to the 22nd, 2024 convention. So we've got a few weeks to wait. Now, she may not announce her VP candidate until then, running mate. However, it might be before that. Could come out at any time. I know that, is it Mark Kelly? What's this guy's name? He's Kelly, whatever, Senator Kelly. From Arizona, I think it was Arizona. He's the most logical choice according to most people. I have a real hard time with that guy. He's very deeply involved in some stuff behind the scenes. He's a coherent version of Joe Biden in terms of his nefarious activities behind the scenes. Now we have Pete Buttigieg is also on the list. I believe that there's a couple others that are on the list as well. And all of a sudden, Gavin Newsom's not being talked about at all. He could be the VP. I suppose he's probably on the list at some place. That's a possibility. Anything possible right now. She's not really published a list at all. Gretchen Whitmer, which would make it interesting because then you would have two women running. Which I think would be probably the... Well, I guess it'd be the same thing with Pete Buttigieg, I guess. You have two women running at that point too as well. But it's I'm not sure how he identifies. So we have all this stuff going on. I don't assume anything. So we have all this stuff happening. But the real question behind all this is, okay, so all of a sudden Joe Biden is pounding the table one day and he's talking about how he's running, I'm the best guy for it, I'm running, and he's arguing and yelling at people, saying he's running. Telling the press they need to back off, and he's the candidate. He's got the delegates. All of a sudden, he is swept off the campaign trail. All of a sudden, meets with Schumer and Pelosi and all these people, and all of a sudden, he is told, I don't know what he's told, but all of a sudden, he sends out a tweet saying that he's passing the torch. We were never given a reason. He's never given a reason for why he's stepping down from the candidacy, from the campaign. There's never been a reason. Reporters have flat out asked him. He was getting off the helicopter at one point, and they said, "Why are you stepping down from the campaign?" And he kind of sits there and goes, because that stupid, like, "Why are you asking?" That's a stupid question to ask. That stupid smile he gives people, like when he's, "Why are you asking me a stupid question like that?" Well, it is kind of a stupid question. We know why. We want to hear it from you. Why are you stepping down? What is the reason you're saying that you're stepping down from the candidacy? What's going on here? "Well, it's time to pass the torch. We've done so much." Yeah, to destroy. You've done so much, that's for sure. Like a wrecking ball. So, what exactly was the reason you're stepping down there, sir? Can we get a reason? Is anybody going to press them on any of that? Donald Trump was at a journalist convention, black journalist convention in Chicago, which is ironic. I would have said, you know, they asked him the question, "What are black jobs? What are black jobs?" Because they think that was a derogatory statement. Immigrants are coming here and taking black jobs. And they all took that as they were offended by that. "I'm offended by that." And yet you have an organization called the Black Journalists Association. Well, you know, it'd be like a black journalist job. Because apparently you want to define yourself as a black journalist. That would be a black journalist job. So that would be a black job. Wouldn't it be? If you want to label yourself that way, then you're going to have to take the term black job. Because that's what that is. If you want to start setting yourself apart because it's somehow different and somehow gives you something special, then that's what you're going to have to deal with. So that's what that amounts to. And he said, anybody that's got a job. In other words, what he means by that is, yeah, they're taking black jobs. They're taking Hispanic jobs. They're taking everybody's job. They said, they actually confronted him and said, what is a black job? What is a black job? So he says, anybody who has a job, they're taking everybody's jobs. But what his point is, here's what he really needs to step back and say, and this is just the way he communicates, and unfortunately, it is what it is, and he knows what he's doing. So I'm not going to try to question what he's doing, but I wouldn't have said it that way. I would have said, most of these immigrants are being transplanted to urban cities, urban areas. Look at the city of Chicago and how they're complaining about the immigrants coming into town. And yes, they're getting their benefits. They're getting all the money's being funneled off to these immigrants to pay for whatever they're getting. And the folks who live there are throwing a fit because they're struggling. They need help. And now the city is taking from everybody's money. They're taking their taxes and all the stuff that they pay for, and they're giving it to these people who shouldn't even be here. And they're giving them jobs. I guarantee you they're doing work because that's the underclass that the leftists want. In fact, Eric Swalwell recently said something about this on a conversation. He said he was talking to a Republican who's going against this whole thing of all these immigrants coming across the border. He said, "Oh, who's going to pick your crops? Who's going to..." This is the same mentality the Democrats had when they were fighting in the South about picking their own cotton. Who's going to pick the cotton? Nobody's going to... I would have gotten in his face and said, "I don't know who's going to pick your cotton for you, Mr. Swalwell. But apparently you still want them on the plantation. Apparently since the blacks have left the plantation, you need somebody else to pick your cotton. You always need an underclass in the Democrats, apparently. You know, all the time you're pretending like you're for them. And you do nothing for them. Boy, you know, this whole idea of giving a man a fish or teaching a man to fish is very pertinent here. I believe here's my thing. I don't want to have to pay for your health care. Okay. What I want to see is what I want to have is an economy, is have a country where everybody can afford to pay for their health care. That's what I want to see. I want you to be able to afford the health care you need. That's what I want. If you need health care, I want you to be able to afford it. Because you have a job, because you have income, because you have wealth, whatever it is. What I don't want to see is somebody who is living on the dole or getting supplemental checks or whatever they're doing, playing the game, playing the system on welfare because they're doing, you know, whatever they need to do to be on welfare. Now, if you're on welfare, you need food stamps, whatever, and some of my close friends have been in that situation. They've needed help. But they deserved it. They served their country. They worked very hard. They were trying very hard just to maintain a family unit. And they were just down. They just were having struggles. They needed help. It's called a safety net. No problem with that. Well, a little bit of a problem. I mean, but at least they were, it was there. I mean, the problem I have is just the way it's gone about, but it's, especially the hoops they made them jump through is really pathetic. But that's, I would rather be in a situation where the community and the local church is able to provide for those people, because that's really what the church is supposed to be there for. The church is really supposed to be the social net, social safety net in the communities. But they've abdicated that responsibility off of the government, which I think is just pathetic. Most of the budget for most of these big churches especially goes to keeping the machine running. So they have a big show on Sunday morning or Saturday night, Sunday morning, several services. Keeps the staff there, keeps everything moving, keeps the wheels turning so that people keep coming for the show and keep giving to it. Oh, you need help with that. You need help. Again, you got to go to your small group for that. You got to talk to people in your little groups for that. You know, the church doesn't have any funds for that kind of thing. We don't have anything like that for there. Sorry. That happens, folks. I've been a part of that before. I worked for a church that was, when I started finding out more about the things that were happening behind the scenes, the way the money was being managed. Once in a while, they'd have a big event to do some kind of outreach. Just knowing how that would flow and knowing where all the money was going for all that stuff, it just kind of makes you ill to some extent. Whitney Webb. I think tomorrow I'm going to talk about Whitney Webb. Whitney Webb is this lady who is she's written some books, I think, but she's very, very intelligent. She knows a lot of the things that go on behind the scenes with certain individuals. But me being the guy who talks about how people talk, I want to examine how she speaks, because this is a person who, it really bothers me. I can listen to her for a little while, but something really, it just kind of twisted me insides. It was kind of like, this is uncomfortable to listen to her talk. One of the reasons is because she can go on with no punctuation at all. She can just talk like several paragraphs without taking a breath and just keeps going and going and going and going and going. There's no pause. There's no nothing. She just keeps talking. And I'll show some examples of this. Now, Whitney Webb is leaned on by a lot of independent networks. People like Redacted, Clayton, what's his name, whatever his name is, Redacted, and some of the other independent operators. I think Jimmy Dore. I think she's been on Jimmy Dore. She talks about some of the people who are behind, like J.D. Vance. There's a guy that J.D. Vance was associated with initially, early on in his campaign, I think for whatever he was running for governor, whatever it was. I don't know. And I don't know much about the guy's background. Okay, so all I know is the guy was a Marine. He's a Marine, and he wrote a book, and he's made some comments about, you know, childless cat ladies. Frank, this kind of talk, I have no issue with that kind of stuff. Barack Obama said a lot of things about people clinging to their guns and their Bibles. Whatever. It says more about you. Okay, it just lets me know where you're at with that, some of that kind of stuff. It wasn't a joke. Now, childless cat ladies is kind of a term that is used. I'm sure he regrets saying it at this point. I think he said it because he knew he was going to get a chuckle out of it. However, what's interesting is when you go on certain social media sites and all these childless cat ladies or dog ladies are all throwing a tantrum about it. And they're only proving him right in doing so. The little flip out, pulling their blue hair out stuff over the statements has kind of only shown that, you're kind of proving him right here. And the thing, like, what you're saying, your actions here are speaking louder than anything he ever said. Did they even stop and think about that? And they're making this out to sound like, he wants white children. What he's really saying is he wants white children. His own children aren't white. His wife is just as black as Kamala is. She's Indian, of Indian descent. His kids, one of his kids' names is Vivek, like Vivek Ramaswamy. He's a biracial couple. And they're going to make him out to be some kind of white supremacist. This is how ridiculous these people are. All he's saying is he wants to have programs and a government that encourages people to have families. He's not talking about people who have to use IVF or the people who can't have children, who have to adopt, whatever. That's not what this is about at all. Birth rates are down. It's a problem in any society. And importing immigrants to make up for that does not make a society better. And many times you're just importing other problems. But I digress. In fact, and it's very true. Most of these countries where these caravans are coming from, what they're doing is they're emptying out their jails. The crime rates are going down because they're emptying out. It only takes about, basically only about 2-3% of the population typically commits about 60% of the crime in a community. Most of the crime in a community is committed by a very, very, very small percentage of the people. So you get rid of that 2-3%. All of a sudden crime rates go down. That's what's happening in many of these countries. They're getting rid of their gangs and they're just sending them here to seek asylum. All right, let's go ahead and go just turn them loose. We'll get to you in a few years after the election. Yeah. In the meantime, we're being told all kinds of gaslighting stuff that's going on. So we'll talk about Whitney Webb tomorrow. But I want to end up with this one last thing. We'll talk more about the Black Journal thing that happened with Trump over the weekend or this last week. I'll play some clips from that because it's pretty good. It's pretty tough stuff. But we'll get into that. In the meantime, we'll talk about acts of violence and how the left keeps screaming and even, you know, Christopher Wray talks about the FBI and how we're more concerned about white supremacist groups in this country. The rise of national, you know, Christian nationalism. being a problem. Please define that for me, please. Not the media's definition of it. What does that actually mean? Because that is being attacked. That term, that, you know, it's being attacked. People are triggered by just, you know, flying a flag or singing the national anthem. You're mentally, you have a mental problem. You've been listening to the wrong people. You've got a problem with that. The very country that has recognized your rights, the things that all those rights, that stand for all those rights, our national anthem, our constitution, all those things, they trigger you. These monuments that people are destroying in Washington, D.C., painting and doing all kinds of things to, it's the very country that gave you the right to demonstrate, and you don't want it. You want to throw it all away because you think communism is the way to go. And really, they're anarchists. I believe that's what this Crooks guy was, the guy that shot Donald Trump. I believe that he's more of an anarchist, which is why they're having a hard time defining this guy. Is he left or right? Well, no, he's neither one. He's an anarchist, which I think is more Antifa, and which is much more radical left. This is the alt-left, not the alt-right. It's the alt-left. And in fact, the Nazis today would be considered leftists, not fascist right. The fascism is, by definition, if you look it up, it's always, it's a right wing, such. No, it's not. It's not at all. Conservatives are not about fascism. They're about government getting out of our lives and not having anything to do with us. Small government. Now, there are some people in both parties, I consider them the establishment elites, who want to crack down on people regardless of, you know, it doesn't matter if they're Republican or Democrat. They want to dictate certain things to the society. And I think that's, it's bad on both levels. Whether I agree with the things they want to dictate or not, it's like, we're gonna mandate that everybody learns about the Bible in school. Okay, well, that's, unfortunately, that's not a federal program. We can't do that. However, my local school, I would be all for having a Bible program that would be free to, you know, kids could sign up for it if they wanted to. Wouldn't have to be mandatory, but just allow it to be there. I guarantee you a lot of the kids are going to sign up for it. It's going to happen. Now, in the meantime, acts of violence that keep happening seem to be happening from leftists against. There was a guy who was wearing a red hat. He was wearing a red Trump hat in California, who was shot just because he was wearing a red hat. Killed. Did you hear about that in the news? Probably not. This is the kind of stuff that happens. And the media just sweeps it under the rug, just ignores it. Amazingly. It's amazing to me. So, now recently there was also, I don't know what state this happened in, guy on a four-wheeler was riding down the street, which in some states is illegal as well, depending on how it's registered. So this guy's riding down the road on a four-wheeler. This guy's out front of his house. He's putting up a Trump yard sign. 80-year-old guy. This guy was in his 80s. He's out putting this Trump yard sign out. It's all on video. The guy comes back with his four-wheeler, runs up into the yard, and runs over the guy. He ends up dying from it, from his injuries. And we're the ones. These people, these Trump voters, supposedly. These people on the right are the ones that you should be afraid of. Well, he felt threatened. No, a yard sign is not a threatening thing. Which side is doing the killing? Which side is doing the spitting, the punching, the slamming? Now, it's one thing to protest against the government, to break into a government building, to do those kinds of things against the government. It's one thing to do that. Sometimes that's bad enough. But I don't hear these same people who were all upset about January 6th and what they did on January 6th. And not give a dang about what they're doing to everything else in the Capitol area. Defacing statues. Costing the taxpayers way more money than whatever happened on January 6th. And I've been told that it was in the $20 million worth of damage that was done on January 6th. There's no way. This is just, replacing a window and a couple other things. They didn't walk in there and start trashing the place. Okay. That's what the anarchists would do. That's what the Antifa would do. They would go in and spray paint everything and tear everything apart. Nancy Pelosi got her podium back. It was in one piece. They were just carrying it around. They weren't destroying it. They didn't trash Nancy Pelosi's office. I did get her laptop, though. Interestingly enough. If I'd have had that thing, I'd have swapped the hard drive out of it in a heartbeat. Gave it back to him. Here, oh, sorry. I found this in the trash. Here you go. Copy that hard drive. I don't know what's on that thing. Guarantee you. FBI's probably got it anyway. They probably know all about this. That's the thing about this whole thing. The FBI knows all about this stuff. I mean, I've gone way too long. This over an hour long show. This is ridiculous. Most of you have fallen asleep in the first 5 minutes anyway. So I don't know what I'm going to do with this. I'm going to have to play the. Tomorrow is going to be a commercial. From a friend of mine from Peru. It's a Peruvian commercial. You can't understand anything this guy says. He's supposedly speaking English, but you can't understand him. And hopefully he listened to the whole show because he would hear that. I'm gonna try to play a few funny things tomorrow as well as we're just going to have fun with tomorrow's show because it's just time to have some fun. Folks, we have I got to end the show. It's just going on too long. So I'm just going to play us out here. Bring the music in. Cue the music. Get my team on this. Get this whole team of people working for me here. I just do hand signals and they just pull stuff up for me. It's amazing how this team works together. It's one of the best teams I've ever worked with. Got to say, it's pretty incredible. Folks, we have a lot of things happening, a lot of things hopping and popping. We'll just have to see how things go here over the next couple weeks until the convention. I think there's going to be some more October surprises here in August. We'll have to see how that all goes. But again, we have to continue to pray. We have to make sure our heart's in the right place and that we have our heads on straight because it is going to be crazy. It's going to be a crazy ride. And it's not going to get any smoother. Folks, God bless. Take care. Have a great rest of your day. Take care.